feature films for families in large gold writing against a black background. F1 Films, Believe Pictures. A close-up shot of a man's shoes as he walks along a wooden station platform. The camera pans out. The man is wearing a long dark winter's coat and is carrying a briefcase. Scuttling along behind him is his young blonde-haired son. He is wearing a shirt and tie underneath his thick coat, a bowler hat, and a solemn expression on his face. As they pass the engine of the steam train, the young lad pauses as he looks up in awe at the engine driver, then at the worker shoveling coal into the furnace.
Tommy! Stay with me.
Toby catches up with his father. They board the train, occupying a large suite to themselves. British Sky Broadcasting presents The Velveteen Rabbit.
Toby.
Yes, father?
Time for bed, Toby.
Starring Jane Seymour as Mum, with Tom Skerritt as Horse and Ellen Bernstein as Swan.
God bless Father, Emily, Frank. And bless my mother in heaven with you. Amen.
Amen.
Also starring Matthew Harbour, Kevin Jubinville, Michael Sennel-Nikoff, and Una Kay as Ellen. Directed by Michael Landon Jr. Shrouded in billowing clouds of steam, the train chugs into a busy station. Toby and his father disembark. They head along the platform towards an austere-looking woman dressed in black. She wears a hat with a polka dot veil covering her mature face.
Well, here you are.
Mother, it's good to see you. Toby, say hello to your grandmother.
Hello, Grandmother.
Hello, Toby.
Mother, I appreciate this. I really had no choice. My staff will be on holiday.
You do realize this is my busiest social season.
As I was saying, if there had been anyone else...
You mean besides you?
I must be getting back on.
He crouches down before his son, addressing him at eye level.
Remember, you are a little gentleman. Your grandmother will not tolerate any misbehavior.
Yes, Father. Bless you at Christmas.
That won't be possible. No tears. I'll see you in a few weeks.
Tears.
Sadly, Toby watches as his father leaves, tears glistening in his eyes. Later, he is transported, along with his grandmother, in the back seat of a chauffeur-driven motor car. The vehicle pulls up a long, sweeping driveway to the front entrance of a large, imposing stone house. Toby stands in the hallway holding his case and studying his new, sophisticated surroundings.
I do not permit running in the house. Wet shoes are to be left in the foyer. Jackets are to be hung up, and meals are to be eaten in the kitchen.
Yes, ma'am. You have a nice house.
Let's keep it that way, shall we? My bridge group is arriving any minute. You may stay quietly upstairs until dinner time.
In his room, Toby lies on the bed staring at a black and white photograph of his beloved mother in a silver frame. Looking bored, he sits up on the bed with his head propped up on his hands. Restless, he gets up from the bed and starts to explore the house. He wanders along a long corridor to the landing. He looks up to a skylight in the ceiling, then makes his way over to another flight of stairs and goes up them. He finds a door. He turns the handle and enters a converted attic. He wanders around the room, taking in all that is before him. He blows the dust off of a book, moves the arm of a model man holding a bowler hat, then rocks a miniature rocking horse. Kneeling down before a magnifying glass, he peers through its lens. His eye becomes enlarged as he does so. He finds a card by the side of a red box, tied with a ribbon. He picks it up. It reads, "Happy birthday, Toby, with love, Mum."
Mum? Toby? What are you doing up here?
I'm sorry, Grandmother. Should I have asked your permission?
Yes, you should have. My goodness, I haven't been up here in years. What a filthy mess. Oh, come along. It's time for dinner.
Toby sits at the dining table, creating a smiley face within his mashed potato. Henry the butler pours gravy into the mouth of the face, then gives Toby a wry smile. Toby beams back at him. Before leaving the room, Henry deliberately changes expression to one that is more formal and serious.
Grandmother?
Yes?
When I was in the attic, I saw lots of things. Toys and books.
Are you asking permission to use them?
Perhaps if you wouldn't mind.
Help yourself. However, I do not want things from the attic lying around. Your father used to leave his toys scattered all over the house. It used to drive me crazy. That's why I turned it into a playroom. And actually, your father used to refer to it as the magic attic.
My father?
Yes. He spent all his time up there during the long winter days. And if I recall, John had quite an imagination. He would come down from that attic, loaded with stories about his fantastic adventures.
The magic attic.
It was nonsense then, and it's nonsense now.
In the attic, Toby retrieves the red box tied up with a cream and gold ribbon from a shelf. He places it gently onto the wooden floorboards. He runs his tongue over his top lip before untying the ribbon and removing the lid from the box. Inside the box, lying on a bed of tissue paper, Toby finds a soft toy rabbit with a blue bow tie around its neck. Delighted, Toby picks it up and admires it.
Thank you, Mother. It's perfect.
Toby cuddles the rabbit up close to his face. Upon hearing the wind howling, he gets up from the floor and crosses the room to the window.
Look, Rabbit. It's beginning to snow. I love to watch it fall, don't you?
With his face pressed up against the glass and the rabbit in his hand, Toby looks up to the sky. Later, Henry assists Toby and his grandmother into the motor car.
Good afternoon, Henry.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Morgan.
Floris, please.
Certainly. Pastor Toby.
In town, wearing a thick winter's coat and a chauffeur's hat, Henry stands to attention on the pavement by the motor car as Toby and his grandmother go into the florist's. Through the window of Tully's flower shop, Toby watches a group of young lads playing with a bat and ball in a park opposite. As they exit the shop, Toby continues to watch the boys playing with a look of curiosity upon his young face.
Ellen? Oh, ladies.
One of the lads throws the ball. It bounces across the street and lands by Toby's feet. He bends down to pick it up, then stands holding it.
Hey, kids, throw the ball! Come on, toss it here! Come on, do it! Come on, play baseball!
Toby's face crumples at the boy's hurtful comment.
Go to the car.
As Toby gets into the car, Henry smiles kindly at him. Depressed, he sits quietly in the back of the car with a tear trickling down his face. Back at the house, he races up to the attic and makes a beeline to the rabbit. Taking a seat on a bench, he hugs the rabbit tightly.
If you'll be my friend, rabbit, I'll be yours.
A tear lands onto the chest of the rabbit. As it does so, it magically transforms into a live cartoon creature. Alarmed, Toby sits bolt upright and throws the rabbit across the room. The rabbit winces with the impact, then twitches its nose before sitting up and parting his folded over ears away from his cute smiley face. As the rabbit plays with his blue bow tie, Toby gingerly makes his way across the room towards him. Toby pokes the rabbit in the stomach. As he makes contact with him, his hand, then whole body, slowly changes from being real to being a cartoon animation of Toby.
What's happening? I was just wishing you were alive.
Then you imagined me to life? Wow, you're pretty good.
Thanks.
Hey, what else can you imagine?
Toby concentrates hard. A tree appears in the room, whisking Rabbit up with it to the ceiling.
That's great, Toby! Oops, sorry.
The tree vanishes and Rabbit falls with a thud onto a luggage trunk.
Are you okay?
Now try for something really big.
Yeah?
Yeah!
Toby rolls up his sleeves, then squeezing his arms in tight to his body, he concentrates with all of his might. The room begins to shudder, and Rabbit crouches down, folding his arms over his head. A sunflower appears.
Well, Toby, but when I said big, I meant...
big!
Toby turns Rabbit's face to look outside. He's transformed the surrounding landscape.
How did you know I could do that?
How did you know you couldn't? Did you ever try before?
No, I guess not.
What should we do now?
They venture outside into Toby's imaginary world. The sun shines as they begin to explore the lush green rolling hills with mountains beyond. Toby concentrates again. The land begins to erupt. Roots and branches of a big towering tree spread outwards and upwards, taking Toby and Rabbit with it as it soars towards the sky. As it grows ever bigger, the branches weave into a ladder reaching up to the top of the tree. Toby grabs Rabbit in his arms as they stand at the top of the tree, admiring the stunning view outstretched before them. Using the powers of his vivid imagination, Toby creates a waterfall which cascades over a rock face. Excited by his new creation, Toby runs along the tree trunk with Rabbit clinging onto him around his neck. The pair swing on a branch, then landing on his bottom, Toby and Rabbit slide down the swirling tree trunk like a helter-skelter. As they reach the ground, the water crashes down from the waterfall and creates a vast pond around the tree. As it thunders past Toby and Rabbit, the spray sloshes up and soaks them. A fish rises up from the water and lands on Rabbit's head. He wears an unimpressed expression on his face. Toby giggles as he removes the blue fish from his head and tosses it back into the water. In the attic, human Toby dances around on a blue mat with Rabbit in his waistcoat.
Toby! What are you doing? Toby, look at me when I speak to you. What happened to your pants?
We've been playing in the pond.
Stories, just like your father. Now, I want you to go and change into something respectable. I'd like you to meet the ladies of my committee. Where did that rabbit come from?
Over there.
Let me have it. But I've never seen this before.
It's mine.
Hurry up to your room and get ready. Without the rabbit.
But Grandmother...
Would you rather I put him back in the box?
Toby reluctantly places the rabbit on a shelf, then heads out of the attic.
Ladies, I'd like you to meet my grandson, Toby. I'm so happy he can be with me over the holidays while John is in New York.
It's good to see you again, Toby.
A lady sitting on a chair beckons him over. As he stands before her, she tweaks his cheek.
Isn't he just precious?
Adorable little fellow. Are you excited about Christmas, Toby?
Oh, well, of course he is. All the children love the holidays. Isn't that right, dear?
And where is that great big Christmas tree, all full of lovely decorations?
Well, we haven't had much time since he got here, but it's certainly next on our list.
Wonderful. Well, I've brought you an early Christmas gift.
You have?
It's not much, but I think you'll enjoy it. Go on.
Thank you.
That's very thoughtful of you. Come along, dear.
A ball.
Now, ladies, let's start our meeting.
A view of the outside of the large old manor house. Inside, Toby as an animated cartoon sits with Rabbit by an opening in the wall leading to their magical land.
Well, what is it?
It's a stickball.
You play stickball?
Not really. No one ever showed me how. Oops.
That's okay. Maybe somebody here can teach us. Maybe her. Go ahead, ask her.
Toby takes a wooden swan off of a shelf and cuddles her. A glowing light passes across her body and the cartoon swan comes to life.
Who are you? Where's my Ellie?
I'm Toby. And I'm his rabbit. See?
Yes, your papers seem to be in order. Welcome to the attic, Rabbit. Now, where's Ellie?
Who?
She's a little girl with dark hair and a beautiful smile. Loves to laugh.
The only girl around here is my grandmother. Her name's Ellen.
Oh, ha. How silly of me. I'd forgotten she's not a little girl anymore. And by the way, grandmother is such a long name. When Ellie was a child, she called her grandmother Nana. Oh, Ellie used to be so much fun.
Fun? My grandmother?
Well, she did what all children do. She grew up, even had a little boy. who was always up here ruffling my feathers with his cowboy games. Now, what was his name? My memory's a little dusty.
You were one of my grandmother's toys?
Did they have toys back then?
Did they have toys back? I was her favorite toy. And Horace belonged to... Oh, what was his name again? Horace. Oh, Horace. Come out, wherever you are.
Excuse me, but do you know how to play stickball? Toby wants to learn...
Stickball? Oh, heavens no. But Horace does. Horace! Oh, Horace, dear, what was your boy's name? Horace! I know you're in there. It's not polite to ignore someone. Horace, really.
Toby picks up the toy horse and gives it a hug. It becomes consumed in a haze of sparkling stars. Its tail and mane plump up, and the horse expands in size.
Johnny! I knew you'd come back! Hey, you're not Johnny! Get out of my attic!
Johnny, that's it! Her little boy's name was Johnny. Of course he goes by John now.
John? That's my dad.
So, you're Johnny's boy. Why do I have a headache? Swan, are we going on an adventure, or did you wake me up for nothing?
How wonderful. An adventure. No cowboys, though.
What do you mean, no cowboys? Let the kid decide. Pony Express rides again. Saddle up, partner. Yahoo!
How do you take your tea, Toby?
Tea? Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Well, I was kind of hoping you could show me how to play stickball.
Cowboys don't play stickball.
Neither do proper young gentlemen. One lump or two, dear.
I think we should do what Toby wants to do.
Fine, fine, as long as it's not stickball.
Is there something else you'd like to play?
We're wasting time. Of course he wants to play cowboys.
There you go again, horse, flying off the handle.
Did you say fly?
Oh, be careful, Toby.
He'll be okay, Swan. Come on, Toby. You can do it.
I don't know about this.
On the count of three. One, two, three!
Flapping his arms in an attempt to fly, Toby jumps from the top of the tree, landing with a splash in the pond below.
He flew!
Oh, that's not flying.
What did I do wrong?
Swan's a bird. Maybe she knows. Swan!
Absolutely not. I stopped giving lessons long ago. Now come down from there immediately.
Do you think you can fly?
Well...
You have to believe it. Everything that is real was imagined first. Don't be afraid, Toby. Just throw your heart into it, and the rest of you will follow.
Toby takes a running leap off of the top of the tree. This time, he is successful. With his arms outstretched, he soars through the sky, with Rabbit clinging on around his neck. Elated, Toby smiles broadly. Passing through the clouds, Toby flies high above his magical land.
Directions to work it. It's natural to do. Just imagine and watch the miracles happen. You can be a deep sea captain, be a circus clown or a king. Your amazingly magical mind, you can be anything. Think of all the friends you'll make, all the love.
Toby flies low over the pond, then soars high up into the clouds, twisting and turning as he performs acrobatics in the sky. Hand in hand, Toby and Rabbit bounce off of a cloud, then glide freely high above the land. Horse and Swan wait patiently for them to return by the base of the tree.
the life coming back into me.
Oh, dear. I wish he hadn't wanted to fly.
Hey, yeah. You should fly up and check on him. Oh, that's right. You haven't flown since Ellie hurt her foot jumping off that trunk.
Oh, you're one to talk. You've been about as much fun as a rock since Johnny stopped coming. And you never used to have runners when Johnny brought you to life.
Leave Johnny out of this. I don't need advice from a swan.
Doc!
Really? I thought you was a swan.
No, I mean Doc!
Toby and Rabbit zoom in over the top of their heads, knocking them off balance and into the pond.
Are you okay, Doc?
As Toby giggles at their misfortune, Rabbit slips from his shoulders and starts to plummet to the water below. Toby flies swiftly downwards to catch him before he hits the water. Toby tucks Rabbit inside his waistcoat. Swan and Horse stand watching from the banks of the pond, getting soaked again as Toby swishes past as if he was water skiing. The animals are unimpressed to be drenched again. Human Toby back at the house.
Toby, you are testing my patience. Hurry up!
Coming!
He grabs the rabbit from his bed, contemplates hiding him under his jacket, then decides to place him in a drawer full of neatly folded clothes. He hesitates, then resorts to tucking him under his royal blue jacket before joining his grandmother in the car. Henry drives Toby and Ellen along a snow-covered track to a yard to choose a Christmas tree.
Driving up all these winding mountain roads. Oh, my word!
Mrs. Morgan, are you quite sure you want to go through with this?
I told those ladies I was getting Toby a tree, and that is what I intend to do. Toby, go find a tree. I'll direct you from here.
Toby goes to a tree, then looks over at his grandmother still sitting in the car.
Bigger. Find one that's fuller.
A worker in the yard observes Toby as he points out another Christmas tree to his grandmother.
Shorter needles.
Hey, son. Over here.
The friendly worker turns a corner of the lot to show Toby another collection of trees.
You need some help? The name's Neil. I own this lot. Come on.
Toby?
I'm going to look over here, Grandmother.
Well, be quick about it. I'm freezing.
Now, I can't remember exactly where, but my best tree in the whole lot is somewhere around here.
Toby wanders along a row of trees.
Maybe it's this one.
You know what? I believe you're right. I've seen a lot of men try and choose the right tree. It's not an easy job. Especially when they're attempting to please a picky woman.
Toby?
I know what you mean.
Toby! Go and pay the man, Henry. And bring my grandson here.
That's fine. Thanks a lot. Couldn't have done it without you.
Thanks, Neil.
Master Toby, your grandmother wants you to return to the car immediately.
I'll see you later, son.
Run along. Off you go. Now, if we can agree on a price, I'll tell you where to deliver it.
Back at the house.
Hurry up and close the door. The attraction of having a tree in the house eludes me. Needles all over the rug and the mess it makes.
It'll be a nice Christmas tree.
It'll be a fire hazard.
Neil said it was the best tree in the lot.
Neil said? And how does this person, Neil, know what I want?
We could go back and look some more. You can help me, Neil, with mine.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Now, come along. Take that coat off before you overheat. I'm going to make some tea.
Standing by a window, Toby takes off his gloves, then unbuttons his waistcoat as he looks for Rabbit. With a heavy heart, Henry locks Toby in his bedroom. Downstairs, Ellen picks up Toby's coat and scarf from the floor.
Well, why don't you let me do that, Mrs. Morgan?
No. You go back to that tree lot and see if you can find that ridiculous little rabbit. And while you're in town, telegraph John. Tell him to get back here immediately. I will not put up with an uncontrollable child.
Cartoon Rabbit sits within the branches of a tree at the lot.
Toby? Toby?
Frightened Rabbit peeps his head out of the tree. The dark skies are illuminated by the glow of the full moon, and a layer of snow covers the tree lot. Rabbit gasps as he sees a couple of grey rabbits leap over the tree he is hiding in. They bound through the snow, playing joyfully together. Rabbit looks at the footprints that they have left in the snow, then realises that they match his own. Rabbit hides back inside the tree when the two slightly larger rabbits spot him and hop through the snow towards him. As they all come face to face, the door of the lot opens and the shadow of a man looms across the snow. Scared, the two rabbits dart up a hill. The man closes the door to the lot. Rabbit's disappointed as the other rabbits disappear into the night. At the house, Ellen sips on a hot drink when Henry appears in the doorway.
I couldn't find it anywhere.
Did you wire John?
Yes, ma'am.
All this commotion over a toy.
Toby lies on top of his bed, fully clothed, when all of a sudden he sits bolt upright.
Neil?
Toby slides off the bed and rushes over to the door, pressing his ear firmly up against it as he tries to eavesdrop on the adult's conversation.
That boy, really good kid.
Henry closes the door behind Neil as he leaves. In the living room, Ellen tends to the tree.
Would you like me to cut the twine, ma'am?
No, I'll do it. Give it here.
(Clears If you don't mind my saying so, it would be a real shame to see Master Toby go.
Henry exits the room. Ellen momentarily pauses for thought, then frantically continues to try and cut through the twine wrapped around the branches of the Christmas tree. As she succeeds, the branches spring open and something falls to the floor. Ellen bends down to investigate. Upstairs, Toby sits on the floor of his bedroom with his back propped against the door.
Your tree has arrived.
Rabbit? Rabbit! Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to leave you. I'll never leave you behind ever again. I know what it feels like to be left behind. You're my best friend. Does he have to go back to the attic? Can he stay with me for tonight? Please? Thank you, Grandma. Thank you so much.
Ellen softens as Toby wraps his loving arms around her waist. She places a caring hand upon his head as she too struggles to contain her emotions. Rabbit, Swan and Horse are together in Toby's imaginary land.
And then they went over the hill like this.
Poof! That was hopping. Those were real rabbits, son.
Real? But we're real, aren't we?
Ha! We're just toys. A shadow of reality has been created in a child's mind. As soon as Toby forgets about us, it's back to some dusty box in a forgotten attic.
Toby won't forget about me.
Cherish your time with Toby. He'll grow up before you even know it.
So I can never be real? Like those other rabbits?
Well, there is one way. You're Toby's toy. If he grows to love you enough, you'll become real. Real.
Oh, not that silly fable again.
The Legend of Toys is not silly. It doesn't happen to everyone, but it can happen. Toby's love can make you real.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, what?
We need to talk. Don't tell him that. He won't want Toby to leave.
Maybe he should stay. The kid has had enough of the real world for a lifetime. And besides, if he stays here, he'll never leave. And we can be alive forever.
That's not how it works. Our job is to help children deal with the real world, not run away from it.
But Swan, if we can just get him to love us enough. I came so close with Johnny.
And now, where is he? We've spent too much time trying to become real with our children. And now?
They don't even think about us anymore.
Quit feeling sorry for yourself. This is about Toby, not us.
But...
1, 2, 3! Oof!
Oh, I love Toby being here just as much as anyone. But we have to make Rabbit understand.
Toby, holding Rabbit tightly in his arms, enters the sitting room, where Ellen is starting to decorate the tree.
I was just sorting the decorations, I thought we might trim the tree. Maybe you'd like to help?
I don't know how.
Well, I guess we can both learn together. It's been some time for me too. But if my memory serves me correctly, it's not all that hard.
Ellen hands Toby a string of beads to place across the branches of the tree.
What sort of decorations do you have at home?
We don't have any.
Well, what do you put on your Christmas tree?
We don't put up a tree anymore. Father hasn't been home for Christmas since Mother died.
Ellen's saddened by Toby's answer. Toby picks up a pink and silver coloured heart-shaped bauble from a box and takes a closer look at it.
Your mother gave me that. She loved the holidays. Well, I think you have absolutely chosen the best tree in the entire lot.
Thanks, Nana.
Anna.
Grummer is such a long name, don't you think?
Yeah, I guess it is quite long, isn't it? Nana.
Toby places the heart-shaped bauble onto the tree. With the final decoration in place, Toby and Ellen stand back to admire their creation.
It is beautiful. But it seems to me we are missing something.
I know. I wonder where on earth it can be.
What are you looking for?
My angel. I haven't put a tree up in several years, and I just don't know what happened to my angel.
We could go buy one.
Oh, no, we can't. Well, at least not today. I just gave Henry the day off.
But the car's here. You can drive us.
Impossible. I don't know how to operate a car. That's Henry's job.
It doesn't look that hard to me.
No, I couldn't possibly.
Ellen ponders over Toby's suggestion.
Would I?
I think you could.
Then run and get ready before I change my mind.
Ellen beams delightedly to herself, sitting in the motor car.
Well, I don't know where to start.
I think you need to turn it on.
Oh, yeah. That's as good a place as any.
Ellen opens the little half door on Toby's side of the car and squeezes past him. She then walks round to the front of the vehicle to the handle. Toby rotates his arm, indicating to her that she needs to turn it several times over to get it started. Elated by her achievement, Ellen climbs back into the car.
Oh, my. What do I think I'm doing?
Oh, you can do it, Anna. I know you can.
With slightly erratic steering, Ellen turns round in the driveway, then heads off out of the grounds of the house onto a quiet country lane.
I'm going to have to thank Rabbit for that wonderful compliment.
You can take it right now.
Thank you, Rabbit.
Ellen smiles happily as she drives the little black car along the country lane. In town, Ellen and Toby stand outside a shop, looking at the window display. A toy steam train powers its way along a track in the window. Above it hangs an array of Christmas tree angels for sale. Ellen points out one in a blue and gold gown. Toby shakes his head. He then dismisses another two hanging in the window. They then spot an angel in a white lacy gown with curly blonde hair, which meets with both of their approval. They go inside the shop to purchase it. With it neatly packaged up in a box, they exit the shop and head towards the car. On the opposite side of the street, Toby sees Santa sitting in a sleigh, meeting and greeting children. He stares open-mouthed at him. Ellen stands by his side, then follows his gaze to Santa.
Is there something you'd like to ask of Santa?
Oh, yes. I know what I want.
And what might that be? Friend for rabbit? Game?
I want Father home for Christmas.
Oh, well, that might be a little difficult request, Toby. You see, Santa specializes in, books and toys and puzzles and, well, things that fit easily into his bag.
Toby looks despondent.
But I guess it couldn't hurt to ask, could it?
Excitedly, they rush across the street and join the queue for Santa. In the magical land, Rabbit lies on the grass looking at a book.
What's that you're looking at, dear?
Real rabbits, see?
Aren't they beautiful?
Yeah. Toby is spending an awful lot of time with us here.
Yeah, isn't it great?
He can't live here forever.
That's not how things work.
But Toby brings us to life. If he leaves, I'll never be...
real. None of us...
None of us is real. Tell him, Doc.
None of us are real. It's our...
And it's our responsibility to...
It's our responsibility to help him grow.
But the legend... I thought...
Hey, Rabbit! Watch this!
The animated Toby walks up with a large blue fish on a line. The fish crawls along the earth, sniffs at the ground, then using its fins burrows into the earth until it completely disappears. After a few moments, it reappears with a mouthful of worms. As the fish spits them out, Toby scoops them up into his hand.
Warming! I wish you never had to leave.
Cartoon Toby dissolves into the real-life Toby, playing with the toy animals and pretend fishing line in the attic.
Toby?
Oh, yes, Grandmother?
You filthy young man. Come on, tell your friends good night. It's time to get cleaned up.
Good night, Swan. Good night, horse.
Wait a minute. What have you got in your hand?
You don't want to know.
Toby, there should be no secrets between us.
But Grandmother... Really, it's nothing that you'd want.
Well, let me look.
I want to get cleaned up right now. Ah!
But see that you do. Tomorrow morning, you and I are going to clean up this attic.
Ellen shudders as she looks at the worms that she dropped onto the floor. The next day in the attic, Ellen hands Toby a mop. He places it over his shoulder and jovially salutes at his nana. As he mops the floor, Ellen folds up some clothes and puts them into a large trunk. She pauses for a moment to watch Toby as he enthusiastically cleans the floor. Her face is full of admiration for her grandson. Rabbit, Swan and Horse are lined up on the side as they continue to clean. Ellen stands on a stool dusting a tall bookcase when Toby comes up behind her wheeling an old bike. Outside in the garden...
I'm going to hold on to the saddle until you're ready for me to let go again.
I didn't know you could do this.
I wasn't aware of many things I could do until recently. Now, don't forget, keep pedaling.
Okay.
Here we go. Pedal. Pedal. Oh, you're doing great. Keep pedaling.
Look, Nana, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Just like I asked.
I came back because I thought something was wrong.
But you're here. You can stay for Christmas.
Toby, go inside, please. I'll be there in a moment.
Toby runs up the drive back to the house. Ellen anxiously approaches her son.
Now, Mother, maybe you'd like to explain to me why I left work to hurry here under the guise of an emergency to find the two of you playing around.
There is an emergency here, John. It's Toby. He wants to be with his father for Christmas.
That's what this is all about. Christmas?
No. It's about your son. He needs you. He needs to spend some time with you.
I spent very little time with my father.
And what I wouldn't give to relive those years with you.
Now, I have to go and explain to Toby why I can't stay. I'll leave first thing in the morning. Don't you think it's a little late for all of this?
John eyes his mother evenly before marching up to the front door. Ellen watches him with sadness in her eyes.
It's never too late.
Rabbit! Guess what? Guess what?
What, Toby?
My father's come to be with me for Christmas!
Johnny!
Yeah!
You gotta come back to see me!
To see you?
Yeah, to see me. I'm his toy.
Of course. That's enough. I'm sure he's come to see you, dear.
I've known him longer. Have you ever played sheriff with them? I have. How about pirates? Did you ever pretend you were buccaneers on open sea looking for hidden treasure?
No.
That's because he likes playing with me.
Horse!
Who taught him how to play stickball? Me! Who was there when he got sick? Me! Who comforted him when his father died? Me! 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 Me!
Downcast, Toby glares at Horse.
Toby, wait. I didn't mean to...
Upset, Toby picks up Rabbit and runs over to the tree.
Toby... Toby? I'm sorry, Toby. Are you listening to me?
Toby? Toby, I need to talk to you, young man.
Toby's father walks along the landing. He stops as he hears noises coming from the attic.
You think you're so important, Horse? Well, you're not, you know. We don't want to play with you anyway.
Toby!
As John enters the room, he too can see the magical imaginary world that Toby has created. Lush green pastures, the waterfall, the pond, and the tree where cartoon Toby sits with Rabbit.
Toby?
Johnny! Look at you! All grown up! Are you a cowboy like you always wanted to be? Johnny. Come on, Johnny, it's me. What's wrong? Where are you going? No! Don't leave me again!
Take me to the train station. I will not be staying after all.
But sir, the next train doesn't leave for several hours.
I'm well aware of that.
Very well, sir.
Once in the hall, John hesitates. He looks at his bemused mother standing in an adjacent room. Then, with his head hung low, he leaves the house. In the magical land, Horse sits back on his rockers looking solemn.
Horse didn't mean to hurt you. Sometimes he just gets carried...
Toby, please. I didn't mean to...
Walking straight past him, Toby ignores Horse.
Horse?
Johnny doesn't love me anymore. Neither does Toby. No child ever will. Without love, what's the point? I'm just wood and cloth. Goodbye, Swan.
Horse, no!
Horse reverts back to a small wooden toy.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Toby, where is he? Where is the boy? This is terrible. Toby!
Far across the land beyond a pine tree forest, Toby and Rabbit sit upon a carousel, positioned high up on top of a tall grassy ridge. As the carousel goes round and round, Toby holds onto the horse with a downturned mouth and with sadness in his eyes.
Look, Toby, I'm hopping.
Rabbit's sunny expression fades as he is unable to cheer Toby up.
I'm sure Horse didn't mean what he said. Your dad loves you.
In the distance, Toby spots a lady wearing a long white dress walking towards him. Toby sits up on the horse. As the carousel spins full circle, he catches sight of the lady again, shrouded in a brilliant white light. Toby jumps off his horse, then dodges through the other horses on the carousel to reach her.
Mother? Is it really you?
My dear Toby, look how much you've grown. You're very handsome.
Toby and his mother embrace. Rabbit falls off of the carousel, landing flat on his face in the grass. Toby's mother wipes a tear away from her son's eye. Rabbit joins Toby by his side and takes hold of his hand. Toby's mother reaches out her hand to Toby. Then hand in hand they walk to the top of a tall grassy pinnacle and admire the view. They then run through a long grassy meadow together. Ecstatic, Toby and Rabbit roll down the side of the hill together. His mother helps him up to his feet. Then holding hands, they twirl round and round. A stampede of wild horses gallop past on the valley floor below. They stand on the edge of the ridge admiring them.
I miss you so much.
I miss you too, dear. But I'm always with you.
You are?
Yes, right here. Love is what makes us real, Toby.
I wish you could stay here with me forever.
So do I. But there is someone who needs you much more right now.
I know. Rabbit.
No. Your father. Be well, my dear one.
She kisses Toby on the head before climbing aboard the carousel and vanishing into thin air.
Mother? No! Don't leave me! Don't leave me!
Your help.
Toby?
Human Toby lies on the floor in the attic with Rabbit tucked under his arm.
Toby? Toby? Wake up, sleepyhead. It's nowhere near your bedtime yet. Toby, wake up.
Mother?
No, it's Nana. Oh, you're burning up, child. Now, I've got to get you downstairs now. You need to wake up now.
Mama, my throat's on fire.
Ellen scoops Toby up into her arms. A wooden carousel is revealed, positioned next to where he was lying. Later, Toby lies in bed. Ellen and a doctor leave his bedside and talk outside the room.
Can you get in touch with John?
Yes, right away.
Well, in the meantime, remember what I told you to look for?
The rash.
Yes.
Swan.
Oh, no. Something's wrong. Toby shouldn't still be here.
Toby? I don't feel well. Just imagine yourself better.
Oh.
Hey, it worked.
No, Rabbit. This isn't right.
But he's feeling so much better.
No!
There's a big difference between imagining he's well and actually being well. Ignoring this won't make it go away.
Toby's happy here. I don't want him to leave. Besides, Toby's the only one who can make me a real rabbit.
Is becoming real more important to you than Toby's life? You have to make him go back.
But... but what if he forgets about me? Like Johnny and Ellie forgot about. I mean...
if you love him, that's a chance you have to take.
Come on! What should we play?
Toby, I don't think we should play right now. You're very sick.
Sick? If I was sick, could I do this?
No, Toby. Not right now. You need to listen. Toby, you need to be in the real world. Maybe you should stop pretending now.
Stop pretending? No. I don't want to be in the real world anymore. As long as you're here, I'll never leave. I love you, Rabbit.
Oh, no.
Toby keels over. He lies flat on his back on a platform within the tree. Rabbit sobs as he cuddles him tightly around his face. In the real world, a worried Ellen is at Toby's bedside. She examines his flushed face as he lies asleep. Downstairs, she addresses Henry as he buttons his coat by the front door.
You must get John and bring him back as quickly as possible.
I'll get there as fast as I can.
Make sure he understands how serious this is. He'd never forgive himself if anything happened to Toby.
Mrs. Morgan, the boy will be fine. And I will bring John home promptly.
Ellen's face crumples as she fights back the tears. Henry gives her a reassuring look, then places his peaked cap upon his head and makes his way out of the door. Ellen returns to Toby's room. With a broad smile upon her face, she places Rabbit under the covers next to him. Smoothing out the sheets, she tucks them in. Ellen bites her bottom lip as sadness and fear overwhelms her. Henry arrives at John's.
Henry, I'm afraid I'm here on urgent business, sir. Look, I don't know what kind of manipulative game she's playing, but... not a game. Dr. Kennedy told me to bring you home, and I came as fast as I could to tell you.
Tell me what?
It's Toby. He's contracted scarlet fever.
Shocked, John immediately returns to his mother's house. When he arrives, the doctor is examining Toby, who lies fast asleep in his bed.
He's so hot. Marcus, you have to do something.
I'm sorry, John. Unfortunately, we just have to wait it out. I'll come back as soon as I can. You get some rest.
Marcus is right. Get some rest.
Call me if you need anything.
Yes.
John remains in Toby's room. In the imaginary world of animation, a thunderstorm brews over the magical land. Troubled Swan waddles down from the tree, leaving Rabbit to watch over Toby, who is still asleep in the branches. Rabbit strokes Toby's mop of dark blonde hair.
Oh. Rabbit! Swan! Horse! Horse! Horse!
Far off in the distance, the wooden static horse stands in a meadow in the rain. A solitary tear falls from his eye. A new sunny day at the house. Toby's bike is propped up against a tree in the front garden. Inside, Ellen carries breakfast on a tray into Toby's bedroom. John stands vigilant in the room watching over his son.
Oh, he's still so very hot. Nana, Toby.
You want to explain to me how you happened to be called Nana?
A grandmother is such a long name, don't you think?
Why don't you just say what you must be thinking?
I honestly don't know what...
But I've failed him. We both know it. He never asks for anything. He never asked for his mother's eyes. Or a smile. I can't go through with that again. I thought if I could... If I kept him far enough away... If I just kept working, that I wouldn't feel anything.
I've learned something in these past few days with Toby. Loving him is worth the risk. Oh, John, you and I were never risk takers.
Sarah.
I mean, everything about Sarah was so... loving.
So real.
When she left us, I think we both did what we'd always done, hiding behind a proper appearance. Well, Toby has helped me come out of hiding, John.
I could never make it up to him.
All he needs is you. Just keep telling him you're here. It's all he wanted for Christmas.
Ellen strokes her son's cheek tenderly, then heads out of the room. John, wearing a waistcoat with a fob watch, sits propped up against a radiator in front of a window. His head is bowed and his lip is slightly quivering. He slowly gets up and crosses the room to Toby's bed. He crouches down at his bedside and studies his son's bright red face.
Toby, I'm here. I've come home for Christmas.
Back in the land of animation, Horse transforms himself from a static wooden toy into a living, moving cartoon. A lightning bolt strikes the grass by Swan.
Good thing I'm here. That fire might have reached the tree.
He's leaving the real world!
Toby, wake up! Please!
Horse! But I thought you were...
No time, Swan! Toby needs me!
As Horse runs up into the tree, a lightning bolt strikes it. A section of the path carved out of the trunk around the perimeter of the tree is destroyed and flames engulf the route to Toby. Hanging on by his front legs, Horse slips down a hole in the path.
Swan!
At the base of the tree, Swan looks at her wings. Then, with a determined expression on her face, she flaps them and starts to fly. As the flames of the burning tree reach Horse, he loses his grip on the tree and starts to fall. Holding onto Horse with her legs around his saddle, Swan catches him in mid-flight. She flies higher up into the tree to rescue Toby and Rabbit, who are trapped by the billowing flames.
Toby!
Landing on the platform by Rabbit and Toby, Horse is racked with sadness as he sees the little boy lying motionless on his back. Swan strokes horse, trying to comfort him.
Toby, I'm so sorry.
We're too late.
No, it's not too late. It's never too late.
Burning timbers fall onto the platform, smashing a hole in it. Horse, Rabbit, Swan and Toby are knocked off of their resting place and start to fall through the tree. Swan and Horse land in the large pond below. Rabbit lands spread-eagled across a branch. Oblivious to the danger he is in, Toby, with his eyes closed, hangs suspended from a branch by the straps of his dungarees. In the pond, Horse dives to Swan's rescue as she starts to sink in the choppy waters.
Rabbit!
Rabbit gets to his feet and desperately charges along the branch to Toby, dangling from the end of it. Rabbit slips.
Careful!
Using all of his strength, Rabbit endeavours to free Toby. Rabbit's petrified as he looks back along the branch to see a ball of flames licking their way along it towards him. With a renewed vigour, Rabbit grabs the straps of the dungarees and tries to lift Toby.
Rabbit!
I love you, Rabbit.
I love you too, Toby.
Swan and Horse watch Rabbit as they bob about in the harsh waters below the tree. With a final push, Rabbit manoeuvres Toby off of the end of the branch. He then dives into the water after him. Swan and Horse stare up at the tree as it turns to cinders. The waters then subside and the toys find themselves back in the attic. Back to reality. In Toby's bedroom, John lies asleep next to the bed. Slowly, Toby raises his arm and gently places his hand upon his father's head and strokes his hair. John opens his eyes. A broad grin creeps across his face as he stares up at his beloved son. John sits up and places his hand upon Toby's brow.
Hello, son.
John places his hand behind Toby's head, supporting him, which enables him to lean forward and take a sip of water from a glass. Exhausted, Toby then flops back onto the pillow.
I'm going back to sleep now, Father.
Time passes. The doctor returns to check up on Toby. Using a stethoscope, he listens to his breathing.
Well, young man, you certainly have made my holiday happier.
He's all right, then?
Looks like he's getting better with every hour that goes by. Now that Toby's on the mend, you'll need to get rid of the sheets, blankets, quilt, everything Toby's used during his illness. They're covered with the scarlet fever germs and could reinfect him.
Oh,
those things can be replaced.
Not everything. Not his little rabbit.
Oh, yes. I'm afraid that has to go, too. You'll have to burn everything that's been contaminated, and as soon as possible.
John loads up items for the fire into a large white cloth sack. He pauses as he picks up the rabbit, then reluctantly places it in the sack. Cartoon Toby enters the attic.
Toby? You're okay!
Where's Rabbit?
Suspicious, Toby crosses the room to the window. In the garden below, he watches as his father lights a fire. Upset, Horse and Swan hang their heads. Toby shakes his head as he sees his father pull the white sack out of a wheelbarrow and drop it onto the fire. With a gloomy expression on his face, John stands over the fire watching as the sack starts to burn. Human Toby, wearing his dressing gown, charges down the stairs and into the garden.
Toby! Get back in the house!
Toby, get back in the house.
Get him out, Father, hurry! Rabbit, please, you gotta get out of there. Wake up and get out, please, Rabbit. Rabbit, I need you. I love you, do you hear me? I love you with all my heart.
John holds Toby back from the fire. He then drops to his knees and wipes away the tears cascading down his son's face.
I'm so sorry, Toby. I never meant to hurt you.
I'm crying.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Greater love hath no toy than he laid down his life for his child.
I love you, son. With all my heart.
I love you too, Dad.
One name above all will shout the cry of bravery. Rabbit. He was a kind toy. A loving toy. A stuffed toy. A velveteen rabbit with a heart of a velveteen lion.
Horse!
Yes, a horse! It was worthy to be called a horse.
Look!
Horse and Swan watch the burning sack from the attic window. Toby watches the fire from his father's arms. And much to all of their amazement, the sack starts to move. From the opening at the top of the bag appears a real-life, dark brown, fluffy rabbit. It hops free of the bag and the burning fire onto the surrounding grass.
You were right, Rabbit. Love does make us real.
What did you say?
Love makes us real.
John smiles and grabs hold of his son. He hugs him in close to his body. From over his father's shoulder, Toby delightedly watches the rabbit as it hops off across the garden. John stands up and carries his son back towards the house.
He's alive! But...
Don't you see, horse? We had it wrong. It's not love. It's loving that makes us real.
The legend is true.
On the lawn, the rabbit disappears behind a large tree. Inside the house, John enters the attic.
The magic attic.
Smiling, John wanders over to a shelf and picks up a dusty old book. Inside the front cover, a handwritten inscription reads, "John, always remember that love is what makes us real. Sarah."
Toby got your gift, Sarah. Somehow, after all these years, he found it. We both found it.
In the garden, Ellen, Henry and Toby wait for John to play stickball.
It was up in the attic.
Come on then, let's play.
From the pictures I've seen, you put your hands here and here. That's it.
Yeah. Not like that.
So your stance, feet apart, back up. All right, Henry.
Toby takes a huge swing at the ball and knocks it far across the garden. Thrilled, he jumps into his father's arms.
Yeah, we hit it! I can't believe it!
Look it go!
Toby starts to run around a couple of tree stumps in the garden. Fielding, Ellen wearing a long dress, throws the ball back. As the family play joyfully together, it starts to snow. Toby and his father twirl around amongst the falling flakes. The dark brown fluffy rabbit sits on a stone in the garden watching the family play together. Audio described by Penelope Parisi on behalf of MCS Agency. The end.